The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, as you know, we go along through the weeks and months, you're of course going to start to learn some things about me. And one of the exciting things that I'd love to share with you today is something that's going to be in my in the wings this week for me. My favorite musical artist is a man named Ben Rector. If you have ever heard of him, R-E-C-T-O-R, Ben Rector, he's the best out there. So if you haven't heard of him, you should go listen to his music today after church. Make sure that you put it on your homework assignment for this week. Look up his stuff. He's excellent. I discovered him six, 7 years ago now. And just for lots of reasons, he's great. And last November, he was on tour and came to Michigan to play at the Fillmore in Detroit. So I went to go see him in concert last November, and this week he's coming back. So he's coming back to Detroit this time to play with a fellow artist named Cody Fry and to play together with a Detroit Symphony Orchestra. And so I'm very excited about that. I was on his sort of like pre-list of secret people who get the tickets before the public does. So I was able to purchase tickets a couple months ago, and now it's finally here. So this week is going to be awesome, and I would be shocked if you didn't hear about all the tales next Sunday. So one of the recent things Ben did was publish a song actually just this week, his newest song. It's a song called Wreck. And it's sort of a lower key song in comparison to what he normally does, but it's got all the vibes, still all Ben Rector. And it's sort of a play on words. The gist of the song is about what it means for your life to be wrecked, but wrecked in a good way by someone who has come into your life and changed your life. And so the lyric goes, "You wrecked my life in the most beautiful way." And so since I'm a super fan, I've had that song on repeat all week. And there's a really good set of lyrics inside of that song which have really caused me to think and pray about a lot. And the line goes, "Healthy things grow and growing things change." And the first time that I heard that phrase, it just kind of really arrested me. I was like, wow, that's not just a good line. That's really a profound thing to say. I never heard that said before in my life. Healthy things grow and growing things change. And so I thought and prayed about how that applies to just life in general, like to humanity, the way that we experience change through life, and also in our relationship with God, what it means to have a healthy relationship with God, that when we have communion with Jesus, that communion will make us to grow. And if we're growing, we can expect ourselves to change. And so it's just been a beautiful thought and a beautiful prayer this week. And it's especially timely because I like to announce a very beautiful change that is coming to our parish here at Good Shepherd very soon. There are a few of you who may already know what I'm about to say. If you don't know what I'm about to say, get excited. So I actually wrote it out so that I could say it perfect, you know? And here's what I wrote. Dear Good Shepherd families, with gratitude to God, I am excited to announce that Bishop Boyer is transferring a parochial vicar to St. Robert and Good Shepherd parishes effective Thursday, August 1st. Yes. We love that. We love that. His name is Father Ginu Abraham. Father Ginu Abraham. That's right. When you were a kid, you sung about Father Abraham. And now you're finally going to get to meet him. So Father Ginu is coming to us from Sacred Heart Parish in Hudson. If you know where that is, Hudson is about 30 minutes or so south of Jackson. He has been there serving with their pastor, Father Todd Ketchnick, for the past 3 years. So Father Ginu is a religious order priest from the missionaries of St. Francis de Sales. That's a religious order. There's about 1,500 or so priests in that religious order throughout the world. And maybe a dozen or two of them are here in the state of Michigan. There are a few that are in the Archdiocese of Detroit, a very small number that are in Lansing, a couple that are over in Kalamazoo. So Father Ginu is with them. So he has been serving and living here in the Diocese of Lansing since 2021. And before that, he served 19 years as a priest in the Philippines. So he's quite the world traveler. And one of his confreres, whose name is Father Paul, will be taking his place in Hudson. And then Father Ginu will be moving and joining us here in Montrose. So this process of Father Ginu's transfer has been unexpected to me and a very fast-moving process. You know that when we were all kind of preparing for this change, it was my full expectation that we were going to hang out the whole year together, just me, as we managed and held on while we waited for a second priest, which was planned to come next June of 2025. But because of the very good and diligent work of our bishop, who has been doing this sort of confidentially for good reason, whilst the process is still unfolding, he is the reason that this good news is coming to us. So make sure today, at some point, you thank God for the good work of our bishop, who is a very good and holy man. I love our bishop. We have an excellent bishop, and he is the reason that Father Ginu will be joining us. So, yay, Jesus. Earlier this week, Sacred Heart Parish was allowed to finally publicize that news. And so now that they have publicized the news of his departure, I am now able to publicize the news of his arrival. And so I knew this officially earlier this week, but I held it together and I held it to myself because I wanted to be able to say it at the weekend masses so that you could all hear it directly from me and not through the grapevine or the rumor mill or anything like that, so that there's any confusion. So because Father Ginu is going to be joining us very shortly on August 1st, there are several developments that accompany that good news. The most important one of which that you are all hopefully asking in your hearts about right now is, what are we going to do about the Mass times? We are going to return to the Mass times before my arrival. You had Mass on Tuesdays and Fridays, and then a Saturday vigil and a Sunday Mass. So that old schedule, it's coming on back. So that's good news. So we can plan on that in the coming weeks, and that's really exciting. You know that when I first got here, my very first week, pretty much the first thing I said to you was, I'm sorry, because this particular parish, or the particular masses that we removed from this, I was like, it really hurt. It really hurt me, because I'm like, ugh, we already don't have a lot of masses, and I don't want to take more out. And so that was a hard thing to do, and I'm so glad that we get to get those masses back. I hope that it's a benefit to our community. I'm a little sad, because I like us all being together, and I know we might now be on some on Sundays and some on Saturday evenings, but you know what? I'm happy for us. This is a good thing. And so the last thing that I wrote was that in all things, God is really good, and that's the truth. And so we need to remember today to thank God for the arrival of Father Ginu, and we also need to remember that we need to show ourselves to be faithful to the good gifts that God gives to us. So we are so lucky. And God's providence is with us, and that is an awesome thing. And I'm so happy to be able to finally say that out loud. So we all know all of the tea, as the youths call it, all of the news, all of the lowdown. And so if there are any that are not here today because you know that they might be on vacation or whatever, feel free to spread it. You know, spread that news.
It's not a rumor anymore. You heard it out of the
horse's mouth. So we will have that schedule, that mass schedule revised, and that is going to be, so he'll be coming on, as I said, Thursday, August 1st, so effective Friday, August 2nd, we will be back to our normal mass schedule. So that's going to be sweet. So we will have mass Friday, August 2nd, which is normally what we do. Yes, okay, excellent. So good. So I know that has taken kind of like a chunk of time, and I know Deacon Brian had mentioned that I would fly in this way because I just did a baptism, and I'm sorry also that we started Mass late. So I don't want to, you know, continue to encumber too much of our time, but I do want to mention just one thing in regards to today's readings, because, you know, we did hear the Word of God, and the Word of God is here to help us. So I want to say one thing about it. You know, I read this passage from Mark's Gospel. One of the things that we need to keep in mind when we read specifically St. Mark is that his gospel is a little bit more brief, which means it's really packed with meaning. Every single sentence in this gospel is a homily. I was reading it and I was like, there are six things off the bat I know I could talk about. And so I'm going to talk about one of them. And I'm going to talk about the very first sentence. So you'll remember, Deacon just proclaimed, the apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. Full stop. You could pray about that sentence for an entire week. I'm going to repeat it. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. That is a profound spiritual lesson. And I want to just crack that open briefly. Okay, quiz time. Who remembers last Sunday's gospel? All right, how good your memory. I'm curious if someone is super brave and is willing to say out loud the one sentence summary of last Sunday's gospel. Anybody remember?
Jesus sent out his apostles 2 by 2 to preach the gospel.
That's right. 10 points. Remind me your name.
Loretta,
10 points for Loretta. Loretta, this is everybody. Everybody, this is Loretta. 10 points for Loretta today. That's right. So you remember now, last Sunday's gospel, Jesus went to Nazareth. Nazareth is his sort of home base. It did not go well for him. They kind of rejected him, and he's like, what the heck? He wasn't able to do a lot. And then right after that apparent failure, he went to the 12 apostles, and he says, I'm sending you out 2 by 2. You're going to preach repentance, and I'm going to give you authority to heal and to cast out demons. Remember that last Sunday? Yeah. So, this Sunday, what happens? The first sentence. They come back from that mission that the 12 were just sent on. The 12 of them returned, and they gathered together with Jesus and report all they had done and taught. This is so important for us to know. Why? Because when we read the gospel stories, we're not only paying attention to the life of Jesus, we are also paying attention to the life of the apostles. Because the life of the apostles, as it has been recorded for us in the Gospels, is like a textbook of our discipleship and our journey with the Lord also. If you believe in Jesus, you can expect that your life is going to look a lot like the life of the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament. And one of the things that the apostles did in the New Testament is gather together with Jesus to talk with Jesus about the mission that he sent them on. They gathered to talk to Jesus about the mission he sent them on, and he sent them on a specific mission. What does that have to do with you? Everything. Because you and I, if we are disciples of Jesus, are all of us sent on individual missions. Missions that are based and custom fit for your station and my station in life. And if that's true, it's also true that we can expect, as a normal part of our discipleship, to regularly choose to gather with people who are on the same mission that we are and pray with each other and for each other for the sake of that specific mission that Jesus has given us. Let me be very practical. If you are a man and you follow Jesus, do you regularly gather with fellow men to pray with each other and for each other for the sake of your Christian manhood? If you are a mother with children, do you regularly gather with mothers of other children to pray with each other and for each other about trying to be a faithful Christian mother to your children? If you're a grandparent, do you gather with fellow grandparents to pray with and to Jesus for your grandchildren? If you're a teacher, do you have teachers that you gather with in that mission of teaching to pray with and for each other about that mission? If you're a priest, do you regularly gather with fellow priests to talk to Jesus and pray with each other for the sake of your priestly mission? These are normal parts of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And every single person, that, no matter what your station is, Jesus is reminding us that there is a mission associated with your station in life, no matter who you are and what you do and how old you are. And it's also true that in that mission, I never send people out alone. I always send out people together, and I gather them back together. So think about how practically useful this is. How easy do you think it is to be a man in our world if you do not have other men helping to keep you sharp and accountable? How easy is it for us to be a mother or a father of children with no other mothers and fathers of children around us to support us? How easy is it for us to be a spousal pair without other spouses around us that we can be with, who can help us, and that we can pray with them and they can pray for us? Man, when we try to do a thing on our own, good luck, man. Now, if you're a superhero, that's amazing, and you're pretty rare, so show me your ways. But if you're the rest of us, we need each other in order to remain faithful to the mission that we've each been given. And we need to allow ourselves and expect that Jesus will show us how and give us the opportunities and invite us to be such a way. And so you might be thinking to yourself, like, okay, I can examine my life in all of my various individual missions. For me, my mission as a man, my mission as a Christian, my mission as a brother to a brother and sister, my mission as an uncle, my mission as a priest, my mission as a teacher, my mission as a shepherd. There's all kinds of missions. And am I supported in those things? And do I allow myself to be supported and to support others around me who I know and love? And if that's not a normal part of my life, maybe you're thinking that, Jesus may very well be, and in fact I would make this claim, that he is inviting you and me and all of us to see whether a change might be on our horizon for the sake of our discipleship with him and with each other as a community. You know, as a parish community, that's one of the reasons that we gather together, and I just don't have mass at all of your houses. Because we need to gather as a community and have discipleship in communion with each other. But that's not something that just happens on a Sunday. It's also something that happens as a regular part of my life. And it should. And if it's not, Jesus says there's really good news. I'm here to make life better. I'm here to wreck your life in the most beautiful way. You know, and so we don't have to, this is just something really to pray with. Maybe this week. And to examine ourselves and say, where am I? And are there places in my life where I feel like it's a lonely thing? Or do I have people in my life in this particular mission who are supporting me? And if I don't, am I willing to go out and try and find them amongst the people who ought to know me and love me, which would be not only my blood family, but my faith family, right? Jesus, I would imagine, might make a song with very similar words about the health of your life and the health of your discipleship. Because you have to remember that in all things, healthy things will grow, and growing things will change.